I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Whispering Woods podcast. This is now our 7th episode, I think.
I do not know.
I think we'll settle with 7 because I think that's what it is. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And today's episode is about...
skinwalkers.
No, it's not.
What?
It's the...
the black-eyed children.
Yeah, or black-eyed kids, or BEKs, as they're sometimes referred to. I've done a longer introduction this time. It does include a couple of stories as well. But before that, we're going to read a couple of reviews.
Mine's from Anono Lane, sorry if I said that wrong, but they said, goose pimples, great stories. Sarah has the knack of making them really creepy. Absolutely love Toby's contributions. Looking forward to hearing more from him. Thank you.
And mine is from Brogains. Fab and informative, really hooked on these very unusual and extremely informative tales of the supernatural. Great banter between Sarah and Toby, her son, whilst the tales themselves are presented in such a professional way. Sarah's voice is so well suited.
Thank you so much.
Each episode leaves you eagerly waiting for the next. You've nailed it, guys. Oh, thank you so much for both of those reviews. If I can just say, if any of you want to follow us on social media and come and say hi, because it's a bit like we're talking to ourselves a lot of the time, that would be fab. The links are at the top of the episode description. And let's try and get a bit of a discussion started. If anybody's got any questions, come on over and say hello. Or just say hi. Anything would be lovely. Right, are you ready for the introduction?
Yes, I am.
Let's do this. Black-eyed kids, or BEK sightings, have been littering forums and websites since the late 1990s. Manifesting as children, these beings are anything but. As the name suggests, BEKs have completely black eyes with no distinguishable sclera or iris. And much the same as vampires, they will ask for permission to enter your home or vehicle, usually requesting a lift or the use of a phone. Although the purpose of gaining entry is somewhat unclear, what is clear is they appear in child form to take advantage of our basic human instincts to help and protect the vulnerable. Using manipulation and a form of hypnosis, if you do allow them in, illness and death reportedly follow shortly after. The earliest documented sighting was by journalist Brian Bethel from Texas in the United States. His original post was dated 6th of January 1998, and it detailed a disturbing encounter that took place late at night in the spring of 1996. He was parked in his car outside his local cable company and was using the light of a nearby movie theater to write a check. The car park was seemingly deserted, and being distracted with his paperwork, he hadn't noticed two children approach his car, until the elder of the two tapped on the driver's side window. He described the boys as being around the ages of 10 to 14, and both wore hooded sweatshirts. Initially, he thought the boys were going to ask him for some cash, but he then became completely overwhelmed by a sense of foreboding. One of the boys grinned at him through the car window, showing off extremely white teeth, but there was nothing pleasant about the smile, and it only managed to unnerve Brian further. The other boy seemed really nervous, allowing his older companion to take the lead. Brian wound down the window a crack, feeling really apprehensive, and the older boy announced that they'd come to watch a movie, but had forgotten their money. He quite calmly asked for a lift so they could go home and collect it from his mum. At this point, Brian's fight or flight response kicked in. Something was very off about these children, but he couldn't quite put his finger on it. The boy continued to insist on Brian giving them a lift, and his confidence and use of language seemed way beyond an average teen. The younger boy was now looking at him, but no longer nervous or embarrassed, more confused and maybe even shocked that Brian hadn't made any move to concede to their wishes. "Come on, mister," pushed the boy again. "Now we just want to go to our house, and we're just two little boys," he assured. Brian felt there was something very wrong with this situation, but he asked the boys which movie they were hoping to see, perhaps in an effort to try and normalise the situation. "Mortal Kombat," came the reply, but Brian knew the movie had already begun and had been playing for over an hour. There was no way these boys were merely here to watch a film. The exchange continued, and before Brian knew what was happening, his hand was moving towards the door lock. It was as if the boys had put him in a trance. At this point, Brian looked up and noticed both boys had jet black eyes. Eyes as black as coal. Neither boy had any iris, nor any pupil. It was like staring into a bottomless pool. A pool he was about to fall into and lose himself forever. The talkative boy then became angry. "Come on, mister, we won't hurt you. You have to
let us in."
Fortunately for Brian, he had left his engine running, and coming back to his senses, he quickly put his car in gear and accelerated out of the parking lot. He risked a look back in his rearview mirror when he'd reached a fairly safe distance, and the boys had disappeared. Brian's story became infamous, and the black-eyed kids have since been seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people around the world. Whether they have always existed will never be known, as some report that these strange creatures have been with us for much, much longer. But without the internet, these older cases weren't as easily shared. One such case was covered in an article by a British national newspaper in 2014. After numerous sightings,
in Staffordshire, England. Paranormal investigator Lee Brickley had been called to Cannock's Chase to explore reports that the black-eyed girl had returned. Lee's aunt had first encountered the girl in the early 80s when meeting up with some friends on the chase. It had been getting dark when she heard a child frantically screaming, "Help, Mummy! Help!" Sprinting towards the sound, she saw a young girl, around the age of 6 to 8, running along a dirt track in the opposite direction, towards a densely wooded area. The girl then turned to face Lee's aunt, looking her dead in the eyes, and she had completely black eyes with no iris. This incident was reported to the police, but no trace of the girl was ever found. More recently, a couple had been walking their dog late at night through the chase when they had heard a little girl giggling. Catching sight of the girl, they noticed her eyes had no colour and her head was tilted to one side as if she'd been hanged. She stared at them for several minutes and then ran off towards the trees. On another occasion, a woman had been walking with her daughter and had heard the screams of a young child. Immediately becoming concerned, they ran towards the noise, and when they stopped to take a breath, the woman turned and a young girl stood behind them. She had her hands over her eyes, and when asked if she had been screaming, she put her hands down by her side and opened her eyes. That's when the woman saw the blackness. She grabbed her daughter and jumped back, looking away for a moment, and the girl disappeared. According to some, even thinking of the black-eyed children can be enough to call them to you.
Whoa, have we got them in the UK?
Well, it sounds like it, doesn't it? From those stories, back to the 80s by the sounds of it. I love black-eyed kids. It's one of my favourite scary things. I think they're so creepy. When I first heard about them, it really frightened me. And it's actually one of the reasons why I got the Ring doorbell.
Really?
Yeah. So I can check before I answer. I don't even know what they are. What do you surmise?
I have no idea.
Aliens, vampires?
Aliens, probably.
They have got a touch of vampire, though, haven't they? Because you have to let them in before they can cross the threshold.
Mm.
I don't know why I find them so scary. I think it's that children thing. Like we've spoken about before. When you're like wearing a mask or distorting your look somehow, it's just really creepy. It's, you know, you can't
see somebody's face, you can't trust.
Yeah, and you can't read them.
You can't read them, so your brain signals no.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know, would you let them in?
No.
being a parent, like a mum, I'd find it really hard not to let them in, let alone if they were hypnotising me. Because if you see like kids out late at night and they look really small and vulnerable, obviously, if I see the eyes, they ain't coming anywhere near the house. But I've heard so many stories about them, and I really, and will be touching on this subject again because I'm engrossed and quite obsessed in my ADHD way. Do you know what? They also remind me of a bit of the children from the Village of the Damned. Minus the black eyes. I don't think they have black eyes, but they all have white hair and they're all sort of born on the same day. Do you know about the Village of the Damned?
No.
Okay, so I'm assuming it was a book first, but it's a film. It's been remade a few times. And like the village go to sleep and they wake up, and the women of the town, of the village, are all pregnant. And they all give birth on the same day to these very blonde white children, who in fact are aliens. We'll have to watch it one day.
Yes.
Do you think you'd be interested in that?
Mm-hmm.
We'll watch the old version with Donald Sutherland in. Right, are you ready for the next story?
Yes, I am.
Now I'm going to throw a spanner in the works. This one isn't about a black-eyed kid.
Really?
Yeah. It's about a black-eyed woman.
Fancy that.
Yeah. Let's do this.
My strange encounter with an old woman with pitch black eyes. I was reminded of this the other day. Thought it was worth posting my experience here for opinions. Pretty sure there is some rational explanation for this encounter, but would be interested in any opinions, similar accounts and theories. It's a variant on what I've recently discovered is called the black-eyed kids phenomena. Bit of scene setting. In 96-97, I lived in a fairly old terraced house with a cemetery at the end of the road. Cliche, I know, but it's an important detail. Nothing remarkable about the house or the area. It was just convenient for college. Anyway, I was up late one night on the PC in my bedroom, which looked out into the street. It was about 2 or 3 a.m. For whatever reason, probably to give my eyes a rest, I wandered over to the window and looked down the road in the direction of the cemetery. Although it was too far down the street for me to see, and I saw three people walking slowly down the road. I could see that they were quite old and appeared to be dressed in funeral clothes, which given the hour was weird. There were two women and a man. I put their ages at about 80, and the woman in the middle was being steadied, guided by the other woman and the man. And as they came closer, I got the impression that she was upset. My first thought was that given their age, she had recently buried her husband, and grief had caused her to behave slightly irrationally, causing her to try to be out near the cemetery at that hour. And that the other two were friends, relatives, trying to look after her and get her home. Anyway, it was all interesting enough for me to carry on watching as they got closer to the house. Just outside the front door of the house was a street lamp. I watched them as they made their way past. When they got to the lamppost, they all stopped, and the upset woman in the middle looked up at me and grinned. This was when things got weird. The grin became a sort of grimace, and if there was any colour in her face to start with, it was now dead white. At that point, I realised I was staring right into her eyes, but her eyes were pitch black. Time sort of dilated. If you've ever crashed a car, the final split second before you make impact seems to drag out. As you process more information than normal in the time frame, it was that sort of thing. I'm sure we only made eye contact for a second, but it felt like several minutes as my peripheral vision faded, and I felt like all I could see were these two black holes in her face drawing me in. Although the distance between us didn't change, she somehow felt like she was coming closer. And I was kind of aware, although I couldn't honestly say I could see them at that point, that the two people with her were just continuing to look down the road, as if frozen, but waiting for this woman to finish whatever she was doing. I was suddenly hit with this intense feeling of dread and panic, so I threw myself on the floor. As soon as I'd broken her gaze, I felt pretty stupid. This upset old woman, who clearly needed help, had spooked me so badly. So I looked out the window again, and there was no sign of them. It was a longish straight road, and the house was towards the middle, so Limper Christie would have had trouble getting out of sight in the time I looked away, let alone the three octogenarians. So, Reddit, any ideas what this was all about? Tired mind playing tricks? It felt far too real for that, and all these years later, I can still remember every detail incredibly clearly. And I can recall a good amount of the dread I felt staring into those eyes. I get chills just retelling the story.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I just want to say a thank you to DJ Monkey Doo for letting us share your story. That is so cool. Living by a graveyard. I love it.
That is weird.
It's oh, I love it.
I do would not want to live by a graveyard for my life.
You see, I'd walk through a graveyard at night just to get scared.
Yeah, I would, but I don't want to live next to one.
It's like when I walk up the lane where we come back from the shops. In the dark, on my own.
Yeah.
I do it just for the thrill. I am a bit weird. So, yeah, that's quite a creepy one, isn't it? Are you ready for the second story?
Yes, I am.
It had been a strangely quiet Halloween in North Texas, with very few trick-or-treaters visiting the neighbourhood, which was an odd occurrence in itself, as generally children from far and wide were dropped off to this particular area, with a constant flow of human traffic knocking on doors. It was 9:30 p.m. and the couple turned off the porch light and settled in front of the television, having not had any callers for the last half an hour. The couple's teenage son was out with friends at a haunted house attraction, and by 10 p.m. the husband had decided to take a shower and carry on up to bed. The wife removed their dog Chloe from the crate, as they would not be expecting any more callers at this late hour, and settling back down on the couch, she continued to watch paranormal shows, and although not a believer, it was Halloween after all. And that was when she heard it. A knocking on the door. At first, she became angry. What on earth were kids doing showing up at this time? But it didn't take long for an uneasy feeling to settle in. The porch light was switched off, so it should have been obvious that they didn't want any more callers tonight. The knocking continued. And due to the setup of the home, it would be obvious to anyone outside that someone was still up and watching TV. So she felt obliged to answer the door. Looking expectantly round for Chloe, as her normal reaction would be to run eagerly to the door, she was surprised to find her nowhere in sight. Continuing to look for the dog, she then found her by the back door, as if trying to get out. Chloe would never normally ask to go out in such a way. It was completely out of character. She would usually either lick her owner's hands or place her head on their knees to alert them. The woman tried to usher the dog into her crate, but she was steadfast, refusing to move. Yelling for her husband, she knew it would be pointless as he would never hear her over the stream of the shower. The knocking persisted, at which point a car drove down the street and the headlights backlit the callers, and to her relief she could see they were children. She walked to the door and turned the porch light back on. Not opening the door fully, as she hadn't wanted Chloe to dash out, the woman observed the children stood on the front porch. There was no customary trick-or-treat, and she began to feel nervous again. She could see it was a girl and a boy. The girl looked around 11 to 12 years old with blonde hair, and the boy looked to be around 8 or 9. She could not see their features fully, as the porch lights were set up on columns behind the two late-night callers. "Ma'am, can we please come inside and use your phone to call our mum?" the girl asked, very politely, but as she spoke, the woman felt from the pit of her stomach that something was very wrong. After all, what kids in this day and age don't have cell phones? She asked why they didn't have their own phones to call from, and this is when things got really strange. They looked towards each other as if they were saying something, but no words escaped their mouths. Turning back to face the woman, the young girl spoke again. "Ma'am, my cell phone battery doesn't have any charge left in it. Can we please come inside and call our mother? We're alone out here and my brother is scared." Feeling extremely conflicted, as they were children, she offered to ring their mum for them. At this point, the woman realised that she'd opened the door a few extra inches. The children faced each other again and then returned to look at her. "Ma'am, my little brother has to use your bathroom. Can we please come inside while you call our mum?" As she said this, she edged closer to the door, as if she was going to walk straight in past the woman. And that's when the woman looked up and noticed the girl's eyes. They were solid black. She quickly shut the door so only her head was poking out. After a pause, the girl spoke again. "Please, ma'am, we're really scared and alone out here. We have to come inside. Please help us," she pleaded, and then the children both began to cry and whine. Terror took over the woman as she quickly slammed the door shut. They continued to stand on the porch. The woman decided to ring her neighbour, as she didn't want to let them out of her sight. She stepped towards the phone, which she'd left by the couch. As she got the phone and scrolled through for her neighbour's number, the children then stepped away from the porch. Walking over to the door, she saw them again, stood under the nearest lamppost, still watching the house. It was only when the call connected to the neighbour that the children began to walk away. She arranged to meet her neighbour at the front, and they made their way to the lamppost, but the children were nowhere to be seen. So, scary factor out of 10 for the Black Eyed Kids.
I would say a 6 or a 7.
Oh, not bad then. I think we will have to find some more. Well, I'll have to find some more stories about this. I think other people are quite obsessed with them as well.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the end of our 7th episode. Hope you all have a wonderfully spooky Halloween tomorrow, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Goodbye.
Take care, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset.
and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.